Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
iPhone.
Referencing Kanye West, a.k.a. Ye, I guess it should be Ye, a.k.a. Kanye West, who made a strange reference to being God's iPhone version 100 or something like that in an interview with Piers Morgan that we were playing a few clips from. It looks to be a really, you know, entertaining interview. I'm probably not going to spend the full hour plus.
I think I've heard enough of it. But, I mean, yeah. I was looking forward to going home and watching it, but we've been listening to it during the breaks, and I was like, I think I've heard enough of it at this point. But my head wrapped around it. It's very entertaining, and it shows me that, yeah, I don't want to say I was right about Ye, but I was more right than I was wrong.
What do you mean
about him? He's trolling, I think, to some extent. He's genuine, certainly. I don't want to
apologize eventually to families that may have been upset by his comments.
I don't think he should have, though. That's where I shook my head. I was like, no, I thought Ye was smart in this. He didn't cause those people to feel anything.
That's true.
They cause themselves to feel that way.
But then he made the comparison between a black person getting pulled over and everybody getting arrested, and he said, since that's not right, he wants to apologize because of the Jewish people who are not, like, the ones in control of record labels.
Right, which is an appropriate apology to make in that case, even if it wasn't the clearest thing that he was saying there, to focus on just the bad guys. And this is the thing that we've always been critical on this show of the racists.
Like, I was going to say, and that is what racism is. It's when there are some bad guys that you're mad at in a certain race, so you're rude to you, mean to you, hateful towards the entire race.
That's not what all racism is. That's what some people who sound racist are. But racism is a belief that a particular race is inferior.
Yeah,
so Kanye does not believe that, I don't think, because he apologized for being unclear. Kanye has a problem with, or Ye has a problem with, the people in power who he sees to be disproportionately Jewish in places like record labels or politics or whatever the issues are. That's different from a racist who would say that all blanks are inferior.
That's what I was saying.
And those are demonstrable facts, right? I mean, that's just the reality of the
situation.
That they are overrepresented.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean a whole lot to me, negative or positive. It's okay. I mean, Italians are overrepresented in the mob.
I think it means a lot to Kanye because he has been screwed over by record labels for so long. And it's been his theme, like his thing for several years, many years now, is that record labels are screwing people, and he sees, like, entertainers that are really popular nowadays as disproportionately black, so he sees, like, the record label screwing over his people. That's what he's always talking about. It's only been recent that he's been saying, oh, and also, what's the majority of people in record labels and CEOs and stuff like that? Jews.
I have a hard time accepting his, oh, the record labels are unfair to me, after hearing you point out, I'm assuming accurately, that he's the richest black man in the world.
Well, he had to fight for it. Like, he had to get his master's back, and that was like a years-long thing. Like,
Taylor Swift had to redo all of hers.
That's because she signed a bad contract.
So did Ye.
It's kind of
why is it excusable for him but not for her?
It's kind of weird talking about
a
black guy getting his master's back. I think, just to clarify, you mean recordings, recordings?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
yeah.
I think he would say that the record labels were his masters in a lot of ways. But again, it is an agreement, right? Like, you got into this agreement, and there's no doubt there's been a historic, long track record of these companies being very
nasty towards the artists that they're signing and seemingly unfair. And that's why you have to basically go into this with an attorney. You have to have somebody who's like a record label attorney be able to parse these contracts if that's what you're going to get into. And you have to be willing to put your foot down on something that you don't want. And you have to be willing to walk away. But the problem is, if it's your first deal, then they hold almost all the cards, and so you don't really have that much to negotiate with, and so you're probably going to get screwed.
And it's not unique to the music industry. I mean, we're targeting the music industry tonight, but Hollywood, if anything, is worse.
Well, the casting couch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least musicians don't have the casting couch, as far as I know. I mean, maybe for, like, Butcher Baby kinds of bands, maybe. But, I mean, if you...
You don't think Katy Perry, you know...
Was she an actress first? No, she was a gospel singer.
And the thing about, well, actually, Katy Perry is a great example. The thing about record, record labels is a lot of people are really good. They have their own fans by their own right, you know, from the internet or whatever, and their music is awesome. And they don't get signed unless their first album that comes out is all slutty, terrible. Like, they got to get slutty, and I don't know why. Why is that? It's just seen over and over and over and over. Even Charlie XCX, like, she's always had a lot of success in her own right. And, like, recently with her newest album, it's just like she's got to even be more slutty. I don't know. There's lots of examples.
Didn't Lorde not do this, though? And wasn't that what, and Adele, isn't that what made them notable? Is that they weren't slutty? They were something different.
It's hard for me to talk about Adele because I don't like her.
Aren't those the exceptions to the rule, though?
I don't know. That's,
I mean, as far as pop music
is concerned.
I don't
know. Pop music, I have no idea.
Yeah.
And Lorde, she hasn't done as well as she really could have. Like, her first albums came out when she was a kid. If she would have been like, okay, yeah, I'll just do really slutty, she could be as big as other people. She's kind of, like, fallen away.
But there's also Billie Eilish, Taylor Swift. They're not overly slutty. I don't think Taylor Swift, she wears, like, gowns when she performs, right?
She does that thing where she's being, like, slutty.
I've never seen it.
She's not hot. That's what you're picking up on.
She's
ugly and too skinny and terrible.
I've never seen her do anything slutty in the way that, you know, Miley Cyrus did.
Yep, Miley Cyrus is a great example, but she's actually hot.
There's different levels of it.
Dude, that is one messed up chick. And after hearing about Billy Ray Cyrus now dating a girl who's like a year younger than her and who he met
really?
This girl when she was a guest star on Hannah Montana. Yes.
Wow.
It's so screwed up. He's like, oh, yeah, we were really friends, and he's been so supportive of my career. It's like,
I bet he has.
Yeah. It's like, this is getting more and more screwed up. Hannah,
wow.
Miley Cyrus, you poor girl.
Man. Well, even like Kim Petras, she is so good, and her music is so amazing. She's been at it for a long time. Like, she's quote-unquote old for a pop star. Like, she's like 30 now. And she just got signed to a record label, to Republic, and the first album that comes out was not even what was promised, which is so weird. Like, what was promised to the fans was going to be like a Europop inspired album, and it was Europop inspired, but anyways, it was going to involve a song.
Wasn't it like the total pornographic album?
The song that came out, the album that actually got released, is called... Can I say it on there?
You can say it on the air. I don't know what the album is.
It's SL Pop.
Okay.
SL.
Yeah, I think you can say slut. That's,
okay, slut
you
pop.
Can say that.
And I mean, like,
I hope so, because I've called myself a slut a lot on the radio.
Okay, I just didn't know if we could say that. It's called Slut Pop, and it's just like a...
It's trashy.
It's trashy, it's really but it's trashy. Just also like a dip from the quality of the rest of her music. Like, I don't know about recording quality.
Yeah, it makes you wonder what she had to do to get that, like, that record contract.
Like, everything she's ever released before that was better than Slut Pop, I just gotta say.
She called the album Slut Pop?
Yeah, and the first song Slut Pop. And
some producer or whatever. Maybe it wasn't even her idea. Who knows?
Is it possible that it's self-aware and she's doing the same thing that Ye is doing, where she's like, she's
letting herself out
in
order to get a record contract?
I don't want to say that, but like, she knows it. She's calling attention to it. She's like, she's trying to exploit it for her own benefit.
That's what the, that's what the narrative always is, but the result is the same. She's dressed like, you know, totally different
like
than she did
star,
before,
right?
Like a porn star, and talking about...
Stripper.
Just like things I can't say on the radio, yeah, really instead great. Of like, you know, it's just like the rest of her music is more thoughtful and good, and it's not like the thing
it's
is like
lowest common denominator
as
stuff.
And really, as far as pop, I like innuendo. I love stuff like that.
There's
fun.
No innuendo on this.
It's
album.
Not innuendo. It's that's what makes it not fun.
Yeah. The number here is 603-283-6160. You can join the show here and bring up whatever you want. We're talking about media and how it's kind of changing over the years. We touched on the new ways to release songs versus these records.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product. Has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
This is Free Talk Live, and you can bring up anything here. You can join us and talk about what is on your mind. The number is 603-283-6160. this old way of doing things that's still pretty established. You know, they still have some sort of sway, even though, as you pointed out, Aria, some of them don't even make CDs anymore. I mean, where would they sell them?
Well, record labels, they're more like promotion. They're more like advertising firms at this point. There's a word that I'm looking for that I can't put my finger on. But that's
management.
They do the management thing, sure. And they put together tours and stuff like that. But yeah, absolutely. Some bands don't even do albums anymore because there's no point. I bought one CD in the last decade, and that was specifically to support the band that had produced the album.
Yeah.
Other than that, not going to bother. I'll just stream it on Spotify or whatever, right. Which is terrible because Spotify doesn't pay the musicians very well.
As a musician yourself, Aria, what do you think about there being no albums anymore? Does that mean music is going to be better? Because remember in the, you know, back when albums came out, you would have the hits. There would be like maybe two or three hits on the album that would make it to the radio and everybody knew them. And then there was the deep cuts, the stuff that the average person never ever heard. They might have been great, but they might have also sucked. Yeah. And so sometimes you'd have some real crappy tracks on an album. Now that there's not this obligation to fill 60 minutes of musical content, is that going to result in songs being better on average, or is it going to be less content? What are your thoughts on that?
But music is in a better place than it's ever been. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Mark Edge was on the show a few years ago saying something to the effect of he doesn't even listen to music anymore because it's all the same and he'd rather listen to talk radio. And I was like,
I'm an old man.
Yeah.
But I've discovered so many more bands just in the last 2 years than I ever even knew existed.
Because of the internet.
Yes, and largely because of Spotify, because it's got these features where it'll go, oh, yep, right now you're really digging Flyleaf and in this moment and Butcher Baby, so
try
let's
this.
Throw this other band in there that's very similar. I'm like, oh, who's this Elysian band? And then I check them out. Man, they're great. Okay. Oh, they only existed from 2016 to 2017. They did one album, and that was the end of it. It's music I never would have heard otherwise. And it's all because of that. And if you somehow run out of stuff to listen to on Spotify, go to Bandcamp.com or Reverb Nation or SoundCloud or any of these other places, and you can find people like me who just who we're not interested in making money off of it. We just occasionally write a song or occasionally put it on the internet or whatever. And there's more music out there. I could listen to a new song every constantly for the rest of my life and never run out of music. And that's not the case
companies. So you don't mourn the death of the album then at all?
There can still be albums, right? Because Pink Floyd's The Wall was probably one of the most cohesive albums ever written. I don't want to say it was one of the best because it certainly wasn't, but it would not have worked in the current model.
Single tracks.
Yes.
Yeah. So you're talking about tracks. For the young people out there that don't know what you're referring to, on an album like that, one song rolls into the next. They're basically, even though there are quote-unquote tracks, there's, you know, track 1, 2, 3, 4, the music doesn't ever stop. There's no 2 seconds between the tracks.
Yeah, like Abbey Road.
Yeah. So there's been several albums over the years that have been like this, and it's kind of a different creative experience. You're experiencing this whole presentation, a rock opera or whatever it might be.
Yeah, The Wall has a plot. It's got a movie behind it. If you want to watch the movie, you don't have to watch the movie. The live show of it was this huge concept that was well beyond just, you know, a collection of 26 songs or however many it was.
Yeah.
You also have Tool, who is notorious for this. Not all of their songs on an album follow the same theme or anything like that, like you had with The Wall, but they will have, here are these three songs that all sort of go together. Like on Lateralis, there were three songs that you were supposed to listen to sequentially, or on one of their other albums, there were like two that you were supposed to listen to sequentially, and that sort of thing wouldn't work on streaming platforms. I mean, it would, but they have to take it with a different approach. And maybe they'll do that. They'll release a collection of 5 songs instead of a full studio-length album. EPs will become more popular than LPs, or whichever one it is that's the smaller one.
Yeah, that's what Slut Pop was. Kim Petras' Slut Pop is just like 5 songs.
Yeah, and that's great. It allows them to release more content more frequently. It allows them to tour more often where they're making more money. I didn't realize that one of my favorite bands these days is Butcher Babies, and they're basically always on tour. They're always on tour.
So they can make money, yeah.
And they're always on tour, and they're always recording new songs.
It seems to me that it's a good development because they wouldn't feel obligated to fill space, right? Like, if you've only got 5 good songs, don't make 8.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if you've only got the inspiration for five, the other three are going to suck, so just cut them out and then just release the good ones and let people share those, and then you won't have people complaining about the bad songs on the album because you didn't release any of the bad songs. You know, you weren't obligated to fill 60 minutes or 70 minutes or whatever the CD length was. So I think that overall it's probably the right direction, but it will be sad, you know, in the long run if we don't see any of these lengthy musical presentations that probably aren't happening as often.
And we saw exactly how bands forcing themselves to write music, what the result of that was. Metallica's the best example ever with their albums Load and Reload, just tremendously dull albums with a few good songs on them, certainly, but the spark wasn't there. It was mostly crap. You just next through all but like three of the songs on each album, and it's garbage. And Metallica's career never really recovered from it. They still do an amazing show, certainly, and I didn't even realize that until I saw them last year, but Metallica, the band, has been.
Well, have you heard their newest album?
Death Magnetic, I think it's their newest album.
Is that the one that our Captain played for us?
I have no idea.
He doesn't remember things. As soon as they happen, he forgets them immediately. So
I think Death Magnetic was their most recent album, but prior to that, I believe it was Saint Anger, which just shows how bored and directionless they really were. But they managed to capture raw emotional energy in that album that I think gets really underestimated because it sounds so terrible. It sounds like they recorded it in a garage or in someone's basement. It sounds absolutely terrible, and it's mixed badly, and that was sort of the point of the entire thing, and the songs are not well written. It's bad, but it captures an emotional intensity that you wouldn't expect from a band of Metallica's caliber to be able to capture. It's raw and energetic, and it's like it's as visceral as G.G. Allin and old-school punk rock.
The Metallica, you know, mistakes were, I think, twofold. They cut their hair, number one, at the same time that they did the Load album. So it was like a major, major error as far as this was the 1990s. Hair metal was, you know, still a thing. Not like 80s style, but long hair heavy metal was still a thing. And so that really turned a lot of their fans off. The musical change that accompanied it, it almost seemed
like all of them just were like, we're cutting our hair?
Yeah, they all cut their hair. I think every single one of the members of the band.
I think the lead guitarist kept his, but I'm not sure.
Maybe.
The point supposed to be like, we're not like anyone else. We don't want to be like everyone else.
I don't know what they were trying to do, but it was a major failure for them musically, and they turned off their bass.
And then, of course, was Napster.
And then the Napster. That's what I was going to get to, was that when file sharing was in its infancy, Metallica attacked their own fans for sharing their favorite music, and that's one of the things they had a really tough time recovering from.
Now, attacking your own fans is not cool.
Yeah, I don't know if it was the Death Magnetic one that you're talking about, but within the last several years, they came out with a new album that was free. They gave it away. They made like music videos for every single track, and they just went full on in, all right, we were wrong. You can share our stuff. Here's our best effort, and I listened to a lot of it. And it was really great. So
it's good to change.
Got back on track. Took 20 years, but.
Stock market have you nervous with massive fluctuations? With the impact of inflation and the upcoming midterm elections, it's virtually impossible to guess what will happen next. But with Vantage Point, you won't have to guess. Text MONEY to 813813 to find out how you can forecast market trend changes with up to 87.4% proven accuracy. That's right, 87.4%. Text the word MONEY to 813813 and find the consistency and confidence you've been looking for in your trading. Vantage Point's patented technology analyzes huge quantities of global data in seconds. No more guessing when to get in or out of a trade. Text MONEY to 813813. We'll send you a link to our free live training. Protect your hard-earned capital with Vantage Point.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance. By texting the word DEMO, you agree to the terms available at VantagePointSoftware.com/terms and consent to receive calls and text using automated technology or pre-recorded voice about offers or info by or on behalf of Vantage Point. Your consent is not a condition of purchase and can be revoked at any time. Message and data rates may apply.
Text MONEY to 813813.
USA Radio News.
I'm Tony Marusso reporting. Climate change activists in Germany threw mashed potatoes on a Claude Monet painting valued at $110 million. The act came 9 days after activists poured tomato soup on Vincent van Gogh's sunflowers, estimated to be worth $84 million. Voter interest in the midterm election is higher than ever. An NBC News survey asked voters to rate their interest level in the midterms on a 0 to 10 point scale. More than 60% said their interest was at a 10. Gas prices are staying relatively steady from the weekend as the work week gets underway. AAA puts today's nationwide average at $3.79 a gallon, which is down nearly a dime from a week ago. And a White House official says President Biden will get his updated COVID-19 booster shot on Tuesday. Biden is also expected to deliver remarks on the pandemic and highlight his administration's efforts to get Americans boosted. This is USA Radio News.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is the perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Yeah. It's Free Talk Live. The phones are open and you can join us here. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Ian, Bonnie, Aria here tonight. Want to say thank you to Justin Doling, who is a Free Talk Live supporter of our AMPS program. Justin is a silver level, which is all that we ask. It's $5 a month. Really appreciate it, Justin. Thanks for stepping up. The AMPS program allows you to back up what we do here on Free Talk Live. AMPS.freetalklive.com is where you can go to get signed up for that. You can use your debit card, your credit card, your PayPal account if you still have one of those, and you can help us advertise, market, promote, and support what we do here, which is talking about the ideas of liberty 7 nights per week. Get some access to some cool perks like the unedited version of our podcast. We have the full radio show without commercial breaks. So I guess it's edited in that there's no commercial breaks, but there's no it's not, you don't miss any show content, I guess we should say that.
You also get it a day early.
You get it right on time, I guess you could say, because the digest comes a day late. So you get it immediately when you are a member of that. So go to amps.freetalklive.com. That's amps.freetalklive.com. Let's go to the phones. We've been talking about record labels screwing over the bands and kind of the changes that we're seeing in music going from the old format of here's a record. It has 10 tracks or 15 or whatever. It lasts for 60 to 70 minutes. Now it's, well, here's, we got two good tracks. We're going to release two good tracks. Have at it. And then they go on tour, and then they might release some more. And so it's kind of things are changing. We've got more access to music than we ever have. I've got a story come up about the movie business as well, because it's always been interesting to kind of watch as these industries try to change with the times. And, of course, now streaming is a new thing.
mean.
What's fascinating to me about this is that what we see Hollywood being greedy in ways that the music industry isn't, right? Like, imagine if you had to, you didn't have Spotify or Virgin Records and Sony Records and all of these other island records were pulling their music off Spotify because instead launching their own streaming platforms and then charging you for those. The music industry isn't trying that crap. That's and I don't want to give them ideas.
Yeah, right.
But that's what Netflix used to be. Netflix used to be the Spotify of movies. You go there, you can watch all of your favorite movies and shows, but then...
And then they lost their agreements because the other companies wanted to start their own thing. That's a good
Video
point.
Video games tried this crap, too. EA did, in particular, with their own web store, and it was a free service, right? You didn't even have to pay for their little platform, and people still rejected it.
Let's come back to that discussion. I do want to get to your thoughts here on the air. Let's talk to Renee first in Louisiana. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Renee.
Yeah, I had a great day with the effects of planned obsolescence. And it fits in with all of this because planned obsolescence is a train of mind that in industry and production and services that has been shot up to epidemic proportions. Everything from movies, like, for example, Invasion of the Body Snatchers. There's like four versions, and the newest one is like, my God, the worstest one they could have produced.
Really?
Unless you really like it.
Kind of like Halloween.
Same thing with songs.
And Scream.
And products.
So planned obsolescence, you mean like planned purposefully making yourself great?
They should have a special tax for that when they find out companies do that, and they should reward companies.
Renee, hold on. Before you go on, I have always understood planned obsolescence to be about a physical product, about something that you buy, whether it be a car. I'm just going to put you on hold for a moment. There's a lot of noise in the background.
I don't know how a movie could become obsolete.
That's what I was going to say. So, like, normally planned obsolescence means you buy...
I've never heard this.
What now?
I had never heard of this.
You've never heard of planned obsolescence?
Mm-mm.
So the idea of planned obsolescence is you buy a thing. So say a cell phone or a car or whatever, and the idea is the company that makes the thing knows that this thing has a limited lifespan. And that obviously we know cars have a limited lifespan, right? Like they move, their machines are going to break down. But something like a phone doesn't have as many moving parts as a car, but most people don't keep their phones for more than a year or so. So the argument is that these things are planned to go bad, that they are going to get worse over time with the intention
that you'll need to buy another one.
Buy a new one. There's been a theory that the Apple iPhone has done this where they purposefully will slow, and I don't know if there's a proof to this theory or anything like that, but the theory is that Apple purposely slows down their devices over time to make it so you want to get the latest version. So that's what planned obsolescence has always been. How are you saying movies, content is somehow planned obsolescence?
Because a lot of them are not original stories. They're the same story, maybe with a few characters and elements missing. And because...
that's just unoriginality, lazy filmmaking, lazy writing.
Well,
they're out of ideas.
It could be the train. It could be the train of planned obsolescence. And I want to say one more thing. China is the king and queen of absolute planned obsolescence. You will buy a product, like, for example, a military-style can opener that, if it was American-made, you could still use it and how it's rusty. But the first lick you put on the can, it bends. You buy a rice cooker, and the screw loses the bolt. Chinese products, China. Not Hong Kong. I'm not being racist. Hong Kong made good stuff. China, the way they run things, it's all bad. Japan made good stuff. China,
All right, Renee, thanks for the call tonight. I appreciate hearing from you. I mean,
I tried to Google just really fast, like, examples of movies planned obsolescence, and I... I couldn't find anybody talking
he's
about that.
He's not applying
that.
It correctly.
Yeah,
but
I don't think he is.
But he is expressing frustration with the whole reboots phenomenon or the idea that Hollywood's out of ideas, so they're just remaking things. And I get that. I mean, I can understand that frustration.
I mean, it's true to an extent as well, right? But it's not necessarily a bad thing. It depends on how it's done, right? If they're just shooting a shot-for-shot remake as someone did, I don't remember who. It's like...
Psycho.
Was it Psycho?
Yeah.
It was just very clearly a cash grab. Might as well just watch the original. I don't see any point, right?
That is weird.
However, you do have other ones, and that are more engaging and that they make more changes, like the reboots of the Halloween series, or with Halloween Kills coming out last year or the year before, and now Halloween Ends. They are rebooting the Halloween series, but they're taking it in a new direction with new stories, new plots, and new developments. So it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's more like an alternate universe of a character that...
Like Maleficent. I actually liked that movie, and it gets a lot of hate because it's like, I guess it's kind of a tired idea to, let's not redo this movie, but do the bad guy's backstory. Yeah, I get that, but I think they did it really well. It was fun, and it had nothing, almost, it seemed like it was like a whole different movie from the original Sleeping Beauty, but they also did a few parts where it was live action. Sleeping Beauty, the Disney one, is a cartoon, and they recreated the scene in live action. And I didn't know that until I was watching the movie, and I love Sleeping Beauty, so I was like, wow, that's so cool that they did that. And then, like, you know, it morphs with the story of Maleficent.
Do you mean that Maleficent was a reboot or a redoing of Sleeping Beauty?
Yeah, Maleficent was the backstory of the bad guy in Sleeping Beauty. And they even...
I knew that's what it was, but was it Sleeping Beauty? Was it the same plot?
It merged, so the plot came together in the end. And they even redid exact... Like, I didn't know that they did this, but I could see it because I know the Sleeping Beauty movie so well. I was like, wow, they did... That was the exact scene, but they did it in real life, and they made it look exactly how it looked. It was pretty cool. Hmm.
I did not know they did that.
Let's go to Major Payne. He's in Michigan. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Major.
Just right quick on the planned adolescence. The Chevy Vega, you're talking about automobiles... That was the first car that they put polyurethane gears in the transmission. Intentionally made to fail.
Whoa.
Yeah, and then you got the Bic lighter. I mean, you got to figure how much does it take to fill a little plastic case with butane? And how much real brass and stainless does it take to make a Zippo? So I can sell you one Zippo until you lose it, or I can sell you a Bic every 3 weeks.
Yeah, that's a good point.
A Bic lasts way longer than 3 weeks, though.
You know,
but hey, thank you, Major, for the call tonight. Appreciate it. The number 603-283-6160. I'm with you. I like some of these reboots or whatever. I'm not as picky as a lot of people out there, but there are some people that are frustrated by.
I just like when they do a spin that's more fun than just, oh, this time we're going to do the woman more empowered.
Yep, more coming up here. It is Free Talk Live.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Honestly, this stuff works. Nick, easy to take capsules. For those who can't handle the liquid drops, easy to take Extendivite capsules do the same job. Karoka Fam, works great. Like Extendivite very much. Seems to work as advertised. Thanks. Arlene, 5 stars. Love this product, Extendivite. Terry W., 5 stars. Can't say enough. Great product. Freya, 5 stars. I just ordered another. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
If you love them enough to turn off your music and pretend like their music is your music.
Ah, this is mommy's jam.
Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're in the right car seat.
Let's play it again.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
About new media. We never got into the Elon Musk story very far at all, but
only more interesting stuff came up.
Yeah, yeah.
It happens.
Is he a psychopath? Probably. Is he doing good things for the world? It seems like it. I mean, Starlink's a good product.
Is he as good of a troll as Kanye West? No.
Well, Kanye's definitely got people going. But Elon Musk has had people riled up, too. I mean, they're both, I would say, similar-level trolls. They're both very rich men who really don't care what people think about them and have, you know, unusual ways of having fun, as we were discussing earlier.
I feel like it's hard for them to go to do the next level thing, and that's what they are, you know, like to do.
Searching for, yeah.
Yep.
Ye would be buying Twitter if he had Elon Musk's money.
Yeah, that's true. So instead he bought Parler. Yeah.
I think the similarities between the two are pretty important.
Indeed.
Ye is a psychopath.
Well, at least Ye was married to Kim Kardashian, and what's his name? Elon Musk had to marry Grimes.
So, anyway, Aria, you brought up Halloween, the new movie series, which was a reboot. And it's kind of weird, like, they use the term reboot, but it's also a sequel. So, the new Halloween, the last three movies, I think the first one came out in 2018.
It's a retcon, would be what that would really be called.
And can you define retcon?
Rewriting the history of the show or...
The canon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that would be the clearest way of actually defining it. It's a retcon.
Yeah, yeah. They took the original character, Jamie Lee Curtis's character, from the original. They updated it to the current day, and they ignored everything after basically the original.
Was she in it?
Yeah.
I still think they should have kept H2O as canon. Because I don't think it would have hurt the series for them to do that.
That's a good point. Well, anyway.
And that was a good movie.
It was. So there's a story here at the AP about the new sequel, the third of what is supposed to be a trilogy, but we know how these things go. If it makes money, there'll probably be a fourth one. But apparently it has made money, and that's kind of the point of the story here. Halloween Ends had a good opening weekend. We're talking about not this last weekend, but the weekend prior to that. I've held on to the story for a week. Anyway, touted as the final showdown between Laurie Strode and Michael Myers, and apparently... Jamie Lee Curtis did sign some sort of an agreement promising she would never play the character again. So I guess
they need to stop asking her to play the character then.
Yeah.
The slasher pick earned $41.3 million in ticket sales from over 3,900 theaters in North America, according to studio estimates. It's the first film to open at higher than $40 million since Nope debuted in July, and it surpassed its production budget, which has been reported to be between $20 and $30 million. So it's already made money from that. Plus, in international showings, it racked up a total of $58.4 million. And then when they talk about how people liked the movie, etc., the film also renewed an evergreen debate about day-and-date movie releases, and some in Hollywood are wondering whether it could have been bigger if it hadn't also debuted on Peacock, which is NBC Universal's streaming service, at the same time. Going into the weekend, some analysts had pegged Halloween Ends for an opening in the $50 to $55 million range, and the previous installment, Halloween Kills, opened the same time last year and grossed $49 million on opening weekend. But that was also simulcast on the streaming services, if I recall correctly.
It was. I think it was on HBO Max, though. And HBO Max wasn't.
I think it was Peacock.
Was it?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was Peacock. Green's first Halloween, by contrast, debuted at $76.2 million in 2018, but that was pre-pandemic, theatrical release only, and the highly anticipated revival of a beloved franchise with good reviews. His subsequent films were more divisive among critics and fans, however. Halloween Kills got a 39% on Rotten Tomatoes, while Ends just got 40%, but still opened at over $40 million. Paul DeGarabedian, the senior analyst for ComScore, said the day-and-date model was put to the test again, and I think this is a mandate in favor of the movie theaters. Audience had the option to watch it at home, but they chose to go to the theater.
Well, we don't know how many people chose to watch it at home.
That's the one thing that you don't get from these new releases coming out on the online platforms. Peacock doesn't have to tell you anything about how many views it got. I mean, it does have the interest in, if it was some overwhelming number, to release that and say, hey, look, everybody's coming to Peacock. But if it was a kind of low number and they're kind of embarrassed about it, they don't have to say anything. Whereas when movies are released in movie theaters, you get those numbers independently. The theaters do release that data for whatever reason. I'm not sure how all that works, but the media companies, the movie companies, they don't have control over those numbers. Those numbers come out. And so that's one difference between the sort of the new model of things, where these companies can kind of keep the numbers close to their chest versus the old
ones. How do we not know they're lying all the time, even when they're bragging then?
You wouldn't know. They have no obligation. There's no third-party auditor that I'm aware of that goes in and verifies, oh, Peacock said 2 million people watched this movie over this weekend. How would you know that? You would have to take their word for it, basically.
And I think they would probably tell the truth, because they got to pay the movie studio based on how many viewers they actually had, and if they didn't have that much money.
Well, yeah. Presumably, they are the movie studio. See, so Universal owns Peacock.
Oh, okay.
So I'm presuming this is a Universal production.
I would assume.
So they own it top to bottom. The reason why they want to release it on these platforms is because they make more money, right? So if you release a movie streaming only, you get 100% of the revenues, basically. I mean, well, you know, with a few minor things taken off the top. Whereas if you're splitting the revenue with movie theaters, I think they're only pulling in like 50% maximum of revenue from that model. So, I mean, clearly they're not willing to walk away from that model, because obviously $40 million is nothing to sneeze at as far as revenue is concerned. But I think it's just interesting seeing. It would be really interesting to see what kind of numbers they got on Peacock, but we don't know.
I agree. And, I mean, horror movies are notoriously cheap to make.
Yes.
So $40 million, or whatever the number was that you said, is really good. I would ask whether or not Peacock is giving away a free 7-day trial, or a free 14 or 30-day trial or whatever, because if they just have this one movie that I want to watch, sure, sign up for a free trial and immediately cancel it.
Right.
That doesn't give them any money at all.
That's true. Yeah, that's what I did with Hulu when Prey came out over the summer.
We can't be the only ones who have come up with that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously.
They're just trying to hook you. You know, they want to hook you in and get you to come back for the next month.
Does that work, though?
It must. right? Like people.
If you want to watch a whole series, like if you're just like, oh, I want to watch all the South Park, and it's only on Hulu. I don't know. Most people, I don't know about most people, but a lot of people don't know how to torrent.
Well, we looked around, right? We signed up for the Hulu and watched Prey, which is fantastic, by the way, for anyone that enjoyed the Predator franchise. You'll love it. And then we looked around and found
watched
some
the
things
Bob's Burgers.
You wanted to see.
Yeah. And think about it. If you were like, I actually want to finish this Bob's Burgers, or you just found it and you want to watch the whole thing and it's taking you more than a week, you might keep it for a month
or
something.
You'll keep it. Or they're probably relying on people to forget as well. Like, so the people that love watching TV, they're hoping they're going to get hooked. And they're going to find their shows and, you know, watch them on Hulu because they're convenient. But for the people like us that, you know, we don't really care about that, they're hoping you sign up and forget it, right? And then they hit you for the next month, and they hit you for the next month. And then maybe you'll cancel it once you notice it on, you know, your
That's happened
bill.
To me so many times with, like, $3 charges for a stupid app. Like, I download an app just so I can put two pictures next to each other and post them or something like that. And it's a free trial, and I'm like, yeah, I'll remember to delete it, and I don't.
So they point out here that a filmmaker, Christopher Landon, tweeted that this weekend he felt his horror film Freaky was hurt by its simultaneous release in theaters and streaming in November of 2020, which of course was during the, you know, the height of the, or you know, at least some of the pandemic, quote unquote. So a lot of people weren't going to theaters. He said, "Please stop doing this. It doesn't work. Studios, stop gambling with filmmakers and their movies to try and prop up your fledgling streaming services. I beg the studio not to do this. We got hosed." And again, this comes back to the whole contract issue we were having earlier with the record companies. The movie studios are the equivalent of the record companies, just in the Hollywood world, and they obviously have it in their contract that they have the ability to release this thing in whatever way they think is going to benefit the movie studio. That's why all he could do was beg them.
Can I point out that Jamie Lee Curtis was in a way better movie earlier this year called Everything Everywhere All at Once, and she was hilarious.
Fantastic.
She was like
movie.
One of the best parts of the movie.
Yeah, it was really entertaining. If you enjoyed the Matrix series and you like funny movies, it's kind of like a funnier, you can't say it's like the Matrix, but there's some similarities.
It's like inspired by the Matrix and really funny, but really interesting.
It's all about alternate universes, basically, and this Chinese lady that owns a laundromat.
I think you should not give away very much of it, because that's the best way to go into it.
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
Just knowing nothing about it.
Check it out.
Everything, everywhere, all at once. It's a lot of fun. Out of time for tonight. Whether you want to comment on the studio system changing how movies get released, you can join us tomorrow, because we'll be back. 7 to 10 at night, Eastern Time. We're live every single night here on Free Talk Live and online, of course, over at freetalklive.com. We'll see you tomorrow.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief watching the world lose its mind. As we all know, global problems have local consequences. Too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits are in stock and ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats standing in government food lines. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.